You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com. Hello and welcome to the first episode of what we will be calling, or at least what we're calling for now, is the Launchpad. A bi-weekly look at the Montreal Canadiens AHL team, the Laval Rocket. My name is Jared Book, and this is something that I have thought about for a while, and especially since it became clear that the Canadiens farm team was going to have a lot of young prospects that we would want to keep tabs on. And the Canadiens' presence in the organization, or in with the Rocket, is very, very clear, and is one of the reasons why this was the right time to launch this and to focus, have a podcast focused on the Rocket themselves, and to keep people updated in audio form, as in addition to all of the articles that we have at HabsEyesOnThePrize.com. And just before we get fully into the look at the first two games for the Rocket season, a word from our sponsors. It's a Texas showdown in the postseason, and Bet Online is your number one source for all your baseball wagering info, with up-to-the-minute stats, news, scores, and matchup breakdowns. Get the latest game odds, spreads, and totals for the NFL and college football at your fingertips with Bet Online's real-time updates on statistics, news, and odds. We have everything you need to stay up to speed on each LCS all the way through to the World Series. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. And the Rocket had two games last week against the Abbotsford Canucks, and they lost both in regulation. I don't think I'm spoiling anything by saying that. But there's more to that than just two regulation losses. The Abbotsford Canucks are a very good AHL team. They're essentially the same team that played in Abbotsford last season. The Rocket, on the other hand, have about 70% of their roster that is new. Whether that's young players who are making their debuts, whether that is veterans coming in and veterans who have left. So it's a very different dynamic, and there's no mistake that the Canucks were much more prepared and used to playing with each other than the Rocket were. And the two losses, the first game was a 7-4 loss that the Rocket had the lead in, was close in the first period. They allowed 3 second period goals, and they never really had a chance to come back after that with an empty netter at the end to make it 7-4. It's not the best result, but it's the good news for the Rocket, and what is probably the best news that you could have hoped for is that the players who are playing well are the players the Rocket needed to play well. And one of them, and this is probably not necessarily important to the Montreal Canadiens, but Joel Armia, who was sent down, is basically too good for the AHL. He was dominant in the two games. Every single time he was on the ice, more or less, he had a scoring chance. He had two goals in the first game. He had multiple chances to get a hat trick in that game. He had multiple chances to get goals in the second game. that the Rocket lost, which was a very frustrating game. But he was able to show up in Laval and really be able to compete. He showed up ready to compete. And even the Rocket head coach, Jean-François Houle, said that players who go down from, you know, NHL regulars to the AHL can take sometimes 5, 6, 7 games to get underway, to get that snap back to reality. And Armia, to his credit, showed up right away and was very good and will be on the Rockets' top line just because he was so good. So that was good news, because obviously the Canadiens, look, there's already injuries in Montreal. They can obviously use him there. They could obviously see if someone's interested in a trade. That the better he plays, the more likely, potentially, that somebody might be interested, if not this season, then the next season when he has 1 year left on his contract. But the other, you know, probably the best news for the Canadiens was Joshua Roy. And that's where we're going to start this, because there were questions. You know, I have seen what everybody else has seen, the highlights, the progression of Joshua Roy. I watched the World Juniors like everyone else did when he was, you know, at times the best player on Team Canada, a Team Canada that included, by the way, Connor Bedard. But there were always questions about, you know, how quickly would he adjust to professional hockey. And in the preseason in the NHL, you can see there was a player there, but he wasn't taking games over. He wasn't bad. He wasn't great. He was just kind of, you know, he was a young player playing in the NHL, and there were, you know, there was nothing spectacular. You know, there are flashes, obviously, but nothing consistent enough to be like, oh yeah, he's going to be an NHLer at some point, or 100% being an NHLer. But in Laval, he had, in the two games, he had 2 goals, 2 assists, and he's just everything that you could have hoped for. To me, he looked like an NHL player. He looked like a guy who can make a difference at the NHL level. And those were things I wasn't necessarily convinced of. I thought there was a pretty good chance he would get there. But to see it right away in his first 2 AHL games was very encouraging. That the where he was already at that point. And I think that's important, obviously, for many obvious reasons. But you obviously wanted to have a good start, and he did. And everyone that you talk to in the Rocket Room, whether it's Gabriel Bourque, whether it's anybody on that team, will say, Joshua Roy, you can't say enough things about how he performed over the first week of the season. And, you know, if he keeps playing like that, it won't be long before he's in the NHL. And, you know, he might never see the AHL again afterwards. But that's obviously the best news you can have for the Rocket, because this is a development team, and there's development to be had. That's the main goal over, you know, yes, you want the team to win. That goes without saying. But you also want to have the young players that are supposed to be good, and they were. In Joshua Roy's case, he was very good, and the other guys that had good games in the second game of the back to back on the Saturday's game, Elias Andersson had 2 goals, that was important as well. He's, you know, he's a 30 goal scorer in the AHL. Obviously, we know he was a top five pick by the New York Rangers. There's a lot of, you know, upside there. He's still, you know, only 24 years old. It's not like he's a veteran by any stretch of the imagination. But he was very good. Matthias Norlander was as good as I have seen him in Laval. It was a continuation of his very good NHL preseason. He was jumping up into play. He was making smart passes. There were a little, fan shots and passes that bounced over his stick, things like that. But he looked like he was much more confident and getting power play time, which he didn't really get last season. So all of those things were good. Logan Mailloux is very far ahead of where I thought he would be entering the season, entering the preseason. I wasn't sure what he would be able to bring into the AHL. You know, there's moments, you know, like there is with every young defender. He didn't really show the flashes of his offensive game. There were a couple plays, especially in the Friday game. There was a pass to Riley Kidney, a rush, and he made an entry and then a pass. You know, there were flashes. We didn't really see the shot. I think teams were prepared for it. Abbotsford was prepared for it. The Place Bell crowd really wanted that shot. I don't think any player had the shoot as much as Mailloux did, whether it was on the power play or even strength, because everyone knows he has a tremendous shot. He's farther ahead than I thought he was. It's really interesting because the people who struggled, the players who struggled, were the players that you'd probably least expect to struggle. Toby Paquette-Bisson had an awful game on Saturday. He had two brutal giveaways. One was his stick was lifted, creating a turnover in his own end, led directly to a goal. The second was an intercepted pass up the middle that led directly to a goal. The second one, by the way, was only 13 seconds after the Rocket had tied it with 2 minutes left in the game. So the Rocket fight back. They tied at 3-3 with about 2:30 left. Next shift, Bisson has the puck in the corner of his own zone. Tries to pass it up the middle. Does not get it to his intended target. It's intercepted and an easy goal for the Canucks. And that basically was the difference in that game. And then the goal before that, the 3-2 goal was, you know, his stick was lifted and went the other way for a goal. And the other player who struggled was William Trudeau. And Jean-François Houle didn't mince words. He didn't mince words at all. He said that since Trudeau came back to the AHL from Canadiens camp, he has struggled. And we talked about the struggles that you can have when you get sent down. And, you know, the expectations for him were high. He thinks that he played well in the NHL. Maybe you should have had a longer look. Gets sent down, tries to do too much, or his head's not there. And then he was a healthy scratch after playing poorly on the Friday game. On the Saturday, he was a healthy scratch. And that's something we're going to see with the Rocket. They have way too many quality players to have that all happen. And it's going to be very interesting to see how it's managed. You have a guy like Philip Machar, who didn't play in a game last weekend. A guy like Brady Keeper, who didn't play a game last weekend. You had Nicolas Beaudin, who only played in one. Lucas Condotta only played in one. Xavier Simoneau only played in one. Riley Kidney only played in one. There's, you know, Nathan Legare, Jared Davidson. All those guys only played in one game. And it's going to be interesting to see how he balances that. And some of that will be eased a little bit due to the unfortunate injury of Emil Heinemann. If you haven't seen my Twitter feed or the article on HabsEyesOnThePraise.com, basically what happened to Heinemann, he was driving, going around the corner behind the net, making the turn. And as he was doing that, the referee was behind the net. And the referee had jumped to get out of his way. As he was doing that, Heinemann kind of fell because he was being leaned on by the defender. And as he was falling and as the referee was jumping, it seemed like his head hit directly on the referee's knee. A complete freak accident. He stayed down. He left the game. He didn't return. The team announced on Monday that he's out indefinitely. You don't want to necessarily speculate, but it's pretty clear it was probably a concussion. You know, there were obviously some positives, some negatives, and the takeaway for me as they prepare for two more home games, the first game is on Wednesday, against the Rochester Americans. They also play on Friday, and it's gonna there's gonna be some blips. There's gonna be some issues defensively in their own end. There's going to be chemistry issues as they learn to play with each other. And I want to play a clip here of Jean-François Houle after Saturday's game. I had asked him about the team identity and whether you get players to fit into what you have as a team identity, or whether the players, because like I said before, about 70% of the roster is turned over and is different. It's not going to be the same Rocket as it was a year ago. So my question for him was, do you dictate that to the players, or do the players kind of dictate what the team identity is? And this was his response.
We would like to implement our identity that we had the last few years to this, you know, to these players, but like you said, it doesn't always work like that because they have to form their own identity. And when you have a lot of new people, and you could see right now, like, you know, they're looking at how the coach reacts and they're looking at each other, who's getting power play time, PK time, like they're reading into a lot of things, and it's totally normal. It's like that in any business. You have new people in the new business, they'll do the same thing. They're going to, you know, check the manager, see all the moves he makes. So it's going to take a little bit of time before we gel and get the ball rolling. Plus, we have a lot of players, which, you know, sometimes could be another issue. But it'll take a little bit of time. But, you know, I thought the effort was there tonight. We did everything we could to come back. And when the effort is there, at least that's a good thing.
So as you heard there, he's obviously, you know, he knows what he's in for. he said before the season started that until Christmas, it's going to be a little rock and roll as they get the structure and the coverages all in sync. But the good news for the Rocket is that what is there is stuff that can't be taught. The problems that they're having right now can be taught. The defensive zone coverage, the not knowing where players are on the power play, the chemistry issues, all that will figure itself out. What you can't figure out is the skill and the ability, the talent, and all of that the Rocket have. It's probably the best Laval Rocket team in terms of skill, in terms of abilities, in terms of talent that they've ever had. Now, they've had some really good teams in terms of success and structure and things like that. But the key for me is that they are a team that is able to perform and score goals. They're going to score goals. You know, they've scored 7 goals for their first 2 games. They also allowed 11, but that's stuff that can get figured out. Jakub Dobiš didn't have a very good first game, but it wasn't all his fault. The defensive coverage was was pretty bad, and he couldn't really recover. He allowed 3 goals on 3 straight shots in the second period. Straussman did very good in relief, and he played well on Saturday as well. Not his fault that the team lost either. So there are very positive signs throughout the first two games. We'll get a better look, a better indication of what's going on with the Rochester games, two very important divisional games, especially when you look at the playoff picture and potentially what, you know, how close things can be in the North Division for the Rocket. So a lot of things are moving around, and it's going to be very interesting to see what goes on. And again, this look at the Rocket is going to change formats. There's going to be different things we're going to do. I'm going to try and get it done every second week. We also want to have here at Eyes on the Prizes Radio, we do want to have a women's hockey podcast. That won't start right away. The training camps are only going to start November 15th. The season's starting in January. So we're not going to start the podcast just yet. But that will be kind of rotating every Wednesday. We're going to have the launch pad, or, you know, if we come up with a different name for the Laval Rocket podcast. And then we're going to have Women's Hockey Wednesday. And they're going to rotate weeks throughout. And we're going to have, you know, articles on HabsEyesOnThePrize.com throughout. Like, the coverage doesn't stop on the weeks that there's no podcast. But we have an opportunity with both the Rocket and the PWHL, the women's hockey team in Montreal, to have access to kind of go look a little bit deeper, speak to people, and provide the listeners, not just the readers, with some content. And that's something that we're going to try and do. I hope you enjoy it. I hope that it is something that you enjoy. Let us know if you have any ideas, what you want to see more of, what you want to see less of. My name is Jared Book. This has been presented by Bet Online, and thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.